you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 9. Anybody glad to be here? Well, four of you. All right. Rest of you, just bear with us. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. I felt like singing tonight. I don't sing every time I come. Scott reminds me, but I don't sing every time. But I was singing this time. Amen. See, what happens with me, I don't like to hold the book. And I got ADHD, so I jump around. I forget the words, so I just add them. And I throw Melissa off because she's saying, I'm going to get this great reward, and I'm over here singing something else. Sounds close. I'll make it up. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 is where we're going to be. I'm trying to get somewhere tonight. Wednesday last week, we had one of the best services I've ever been in here. There's only a handful of us here. The rest of everybody was sick or recovering from being sick. And then Sunday night, the Holy Spirit dropped down in this place. Golly. If you was here, you know what I'm talking about. It was heavy, was it not? I mean, it was so heavy. It was like, I mean, I say that, it's just like when the Holy Spirit sets down, it's kind of like waves. It's heavy. It's good heavy, but it's heavy. That was powerful. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. If not, just... I'm looking to get somewhere, but I couldn't help it. If you've ever preached or taught the Bible, God gives. I was with somebody having lunch. I was with my wife having lunch, but then somebody joined us, and they said a word. And when they said the word, I knew I need to preach that. So I went and started looking at it, and then I started looking behind it and before it. So that's what you do. You get a little context. And then I seen some more I wanted to preach, and I looked at behind us, and more I wanted to preach, so it's turning into a three-night message. Y'all excited now? Hey, we're going to that marriage retreat tomorrow. We leave all the marriage, the people are going on the marriage retreat, and don't you worry, we'll have all those wives fixed up, brand new time we get back Sunday. All the men said amen. All right, I'm going to quit doing the comedian routine. Let's get in the Word. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I love that story. I didn't want to preach that, but I can't help it. I'm like, have you ever been in a situation where somebody puts something out in your house? Maybe your wife buys some chocolate or something like that, and she puts it in maybe in a jar and says, you know, these are just for special occasions. And those special occasions turn into any day ending in Y. Amen. All right, I got a tough crowd tonight. But I understand, look, that's what this is like. When I seen this up there, I couldn't help it. Jesus gets in a ship and goes back to the other side, and then somebody found out, if you go in Mark chapter 2, they found out that Jesus was in the house preaching, and some dudes got together, four men, got together and said, we're going to bring this guy who's paralyzed to Jesus. That's some radical dudes right there, man. These radical guys said, you know what? We're not taking him to a doctor. We're not taking him to get medication. We're not taking him to a psychologist. We're going to take him to where Jesus is, and we're going to get him in to see Jesus. Somebody blessed you when you were lost and got you into a place where you could see Jesus. Can I preach a little bit here? Guess what every one of those four had in common? That were carrying the man who was paralyzed. They were once paralyzed too. They had all been sinners too. They're all sinners saved by grace. Ain't that a great story? How when you're saved by grace, you're still just as wretched as anybody else without Jesus, and you're still yet qualified to bring people to Jesus. People say weird stuff about you the whole time you serve God. You just think you're perfect. You think you're better than everybody. No, I don't. No, I don't have that idea whatsoever. I'm just saved by grace. And I have found the cure for the sickness of my soul. And I just want you to have the same cure. That's it. I'm not, I don't think I'm no better than you. And if you do think you're better than somebody else, you're sicker than the person you're talking to. Amen, preacher. That's pretty good preaching. I love that. Amen. And they got him to Jesus. Now check this out. He's paralyzed. This old boy can't do nothing for himself. And they get him to Jesus. They get that guy to Jesus. And guess what? Jesus doesn't fix his paralyzed problem. Man, I love this. Some of y'all need to make a note right here. He's seen their faith. He's seen their, whose faith? The faith of the guys that brought them. Don't give up on people. Keep bringing them to Jesus. Don't give up on nobody. Especially if you've got them under the Word before. If you've got them under the Word has a, it's got an agent to it that once it gets in, it don't get out. I'll break it down. The Bible says it like this. The Word of God does not go out void. Amen? So once it's been heard, it can't be unheard. Once it's been sowed, it can't be unsown. Old boy's laying there and he's paralyzed. He's like, oh man, Jesus, I got in the presence of Jesus. He's going to do something big in my life. He said, because these guys' faith brought you to Christ, your sins be forgiven. Hey man, I got bigger issues, Lord. I got rent to pay. I got groceries to buy. And my marriage is falling apart. Hey Jack, I'm paralyzed here. Can't you see I got a bigger problem than my sin situation? No, you don't. No, you don't. But let me tell you something. You can have all the problems in your life solved, fixed up, and taken care of. If you ain't got your sin problem taken care of, you're in the most danger than anybody on the face of the planet. Jesus knows that. God knows that. And you probably already know that. I didn't even know I had a problem with sin until God saved me of mine. It was wrecking my whole life. It was wrecking my wife's life. It was wrecking everything I had. Then all of a sudden, man, August 2804, God paid a visit to a little single-wide trailer in Chatsworth, Georgia to save a wretched sinner like me. I don't know why. I don't know why, but He did. I don't know why He let me in. Too late, guys. I'm in. Once you get in, you can't. I can't get out. So somebody said, you're so excited. You're on fire. You want to? What? When are you going to come? Somebody told me, well, Kevin, don't worry. You'll calm down. I have a little bit. Just because I'm getting older ain't because I'm not going to want to ain't changed. Amen? You hear me? Praise God, I love this, man. Jesus seen the biggest problem that dude had was not that he was paralyzed. It was his sins had not been forgiven. I guarantee if you can ask that guy, he was set free before he was set free of the paralyzed. There's some people, when you don't even know, if you really understand what I just said, when you got saved, if y'all don't start doing something back here, I'm going to run right across through right here. I'm serious. I'm trying to tell you something. When you got saved, be honest, when you got saved, all your problems did not disappear. All your legal issues, all your family issues, all your health issues, they did not go away. But praise God, didn't they change? Didn't the perspective of them problems change? I had the same family, same finances, same job, same stuff going on, but there was something going on in me that was totally different. And I was like, my God, things look different. There's some hope and peace and joy and my gosh, the love. That love showed up, didn't it? Man, when you first told somebody you loved them when you got saved was totally different because before you get saved, you don't even know what it is. Got saved and I'm like, I love you. What? All right, bro. All right, you're at work. First time somebody does something to you, something wrong to you, and all of a sudden you just forgive them before for no good reason, before you had cussed them out, held a grudge, been bitter, and got back at them. Sorry, wrong crowd, I guess. I know I would have. I got saved. I was like, they'll get it. I'll just tell them about Jesus next time I come around. Amen? Golly, this old boy got his biggest problem solved. And I promise you, if you ain't got your biggest problem solved, get that problem solved with Jesus, and the rest of your problems will start working themselves out. I ain't going to say they're all going to go away, but they will over time, and they will change, and their power over you will change. God, stop preaching. Why am I preaching so hard? Thank you. Hey, y'all talk to Joy if it gets out of hand tonight. Y'all ready? Let's go a little further. And Jesus knowing, no, let's verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. God, I love this. Verse 4, and Jesus knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts. I hate to bust your bubble, but some of you are in trouble. I just want to do it. I'm sorry. I just want to do that. God knows your heart. You can fake it for everybody. You can put on for everybody. You can come in here and act churchy. God knows your heart. He knows when you're hating and when you're loving, when you're doing right, when you're doing wrong. Can you believe God? They were having such a big service in this house, and somebody was getting healed. Somebody was getting forgiven of their sins, and some people in there were ticked off. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you, why do you say praise God? Because somebody was ticked off. Because it happens here too. Don't be surprised. It's all right. Somebody's like the way they're doing our carpet. I don't like the way they come in here and just make a mess. I don't like them just to think they can jump. Yes, I know. But praise God, God's moving. It don't matter. God's moving. Never mind. They reason in their heart. Jesus goes, hey, why are you reasoning in your heart? I bet half of them go, no, I ain't me. Amen. I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. Why are you reasoning in your hearts that it's hard for me to say your sins be forgiven, right? Or to arise and walk. He's about to mess them up now, right? For whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise and walk, verse 6. But ye may know that the Son of Man hath power over earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Whew! But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto him. I believe even some of the ones who were negative even had to say, you know, that's pretty good. That's good. Amen. Listen, can I preach just a little bit more here? Because I only got like 35, 40 minutes left on this restless message. Can I go ahead and get about two more minutes out of this? I said five. I wasn't lying. 5 to 2 minutes, okay? It's not here in this. It's in Mark chapter 2. He tells the man, take up your bed and walk. It's my favorite. I love to preach this. Why this man's been paralyzed in his bed, the last stinking thing he wants to do is been associated with that stinking bed. Huh? Some of y'all can say amen right there once in a while. Just hallelujah. Shout the glory something. The last thing I want to be associated with is what I've been laying around in for the last 10, 20 years. Amen? I don't want to be called a paralyzed guy. I don't want to be associated. I want my name mentioned with that bed. But Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. Now he's walking with the thing that used to be carrying him. He's carrying it. And then when somebody runs into him, say, hey, Jack, why are you carrying that bed? Well, funny that you should ask. But this bed used to carry me until I met a man named Jesus who forgave me of my sins and then healed me. And now he told me to carry this. At first I didn't want to carry it. But now I know why I'm carrying it. It's because somebody needs to see me carry it. Amen. Somebody needs to see me carry what used to carry me, where they know that one day the thing that's carrying them can carry, you can carry it. Amen, preacher. I wasn't going to preach this hard when I got here on Wednesday, but one day, because you're carrying something that you don't want to be associated with anymore, you're going to run into somebody that says, I can't beat drugs. I can't beat lying. I can't beat a divorce. I can't beat. You say, look, I'm carrying that because Jesus healed me of that. If I can do it, you can do it because I'm just as jacked up as you are. We have a hard time admitting that we're just as jacked up as the world are, don't we? Let's get in the rest of the message. You'll see what I'm talking about. Y'all having a good time? I'm having the time of my life. Verse 9, and Jesus passed from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, this is verse 9, he said, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Man, this Matthew, what kind of faith is that? He's got a full-time job, taking collections. He's a publican. To the Jewish people, and especially the Pharisees and Sadducees, he is a thief, and he is worse. He's the worst kind of sinner. He's a turncoat. He's turned against his own nation, and he's taking taxes for the Roman government, and he's probably taking for himself too. He's a bad dude. I mean, every time they would say publican, God, y'all don't help me. They didn't list anybody like they did the publicans and the sinners. They gave them a title. Has anybody in here got a title? I used to have one. Amen. They had sinners and Kevin. Right? That don't mess. That's nasty. Right? Come on. Publicans, sinners. Jesus walks by one of them. Hey, sit. God, can I? This is the Kevin version. This is not King James right here, okay? This is King James. I'm just paraphrasing. Hey, Matthew, you want to be on my team? Come on, follow me. All right. Closes up all of his books, all of his records, all of his past, all the future that he had, and everything that was going on right there. Was it a good deal? How come we can't make that deal sometimes? How come we can't make that deal? We've seen it work for Matthew, Mark, James, and John, Peter, Andrew. All the other disciples, it worked good for. The only one it didn't work good for was Judas, is the one who thought, well, I'll take a little money and ride on my own plan. What? But the guys who just walked away from everything they knew worked out pretty good, didn't they? And says, well, sounds like a good deal. Let me close out this last account, pay your taxes. Okay, rest of you guys, have a good life. God bless. See y'all later. Walking with Jesus. A publican walking with Jesus. A publican that everybody knows. Everybody says that dude is rotten. He's on Team Jesus. Can you see him? Can I preach there a little bit? You don't think I know what I'm talking about? But Matthew's got to be a tax collector, because everywhere he goes, he sees how many people are there, because that's how many people he would attack. He's a good tax collector. The demonic man, the demon-possessed man in the garden, everybody else records it as one. Because that person stood out the most, not Matthew. Matthew said, well, if there was two demons and we were taxing both demon-filled guys, I'd tax both of them, not just the loudmouth one. I'd tax the other one too. Blind Bartimaeus, he wasn't the only blind man. There was two. Amen? Well, he said, I like blind Bartimaeus, and he's making a good money on his blind operation, but there's another guy making a blind operation. I would have taxed him too. Oh, come on. Y'all like that. Matthew was still a tax collector. God took all of his gifts, talents, and abilities and just put him on the right team. God wants to take all your gifts, talents, and abilities and just put you on the right team. Amen? Don't be afraid. Just follow. Don't be afraid to jump out there and follow him. Guess what? If he asks you to follow him, he's got somewhere to take you. He knows your end and your beginning. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows the beginning and the end of you. You can trust Jesus. You can't trust you. You should already know that by now. I'm just smart enough to figure it out. Wait a minute. Hey, I can't trust myself. I'm running this thing in a ditch every time. At least try Jesus one time to see if he don't run in a ditch. He won't. All right. You're going to believe him, but try. Verse 10, it gets good. Jesus goes to a party, a house party. Man, I am just taking all kinds of little bit of this. Y'all might need to go back and check this out. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. That ain't in there, is it? Why in the blue world is Jesus, the most holy, righteous thing ever, sitting in a house full of publicans and sinners? We won't. I can't believe they came in here. I don't know if we can tolerate that, something like that in our place. Well, how can Jesus tolerate it? Because to everybody, Jesus is righteous and everybody else is unrighteous. Everybody else is filthy rags. You are filthy rags. Your righteousness is filthy rags before God. I hate to tell you that. You might not like that, but hey, guess what? One Isaiah said, hey, when I was a prophet of God, and the very moment that I looked upon the throne of glory, I fell on my face and said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. That's a man who spoke for God directly. The very minute he seen the throne of glory, he said, I ain't nothing. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a nation and a people of unclean lips. And then an angel went and got a live coal off the altar. That represents Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of all, and touched his lips and made him able. The only reason you're able is because you've been touched by Jesus. Whew. He went in there and he's hanging out with the most wretched people on the face of the planet. He don't see nothing wrong with it. I better go there before somebody runs off in the brain. Well, I'm just going to go hang out at the bar and stuff with my friend. No. Don't go there with me. You're only going to the places where the sinners are if you're a change agent. See, they wasn't nobody pulling Jesus down. He was pulling them out. If you ain't got that kind of pull, you don't show up. Amen? If you ain't got that kind of pull, you don't show up. You can be around them, you can be anything, but when you go into their environment, if they're going to pull you down, you don't go there for that. You're not going to be like them. You're going there to show them that there is a way out. Jesus didn't sit down with the publicans and sinners and say, I want to be like you guys. He sat down with them and said, you can be like me. Amen? I like to bust that bubble right away. Because I ain't changing for nobody anymore. If I was in a recovery setting, if I was in a place where it was just all men and we were talking about recovery right there, I would say something along these lines. God breaks down our false identities. He takes all the masks away. He makes you who you've always been made to be, and you're happy with it and content with it. Whether somebody loves you or whether somebody hates you. See, when I was lost, I hate to say this because it's absolutely true. When I was lost, I would become all people. I would become all people. Every time I get around a different group, I just, what? You don't like that? I can be silly. You don't like that? I can be serious. If you don't like that, I can be a total goofball. Man, oh, I'm sorry. I might just be preaching to myself now. But when I got saved, He made me, me. He gave me an identity in Christ Jesus. And if you can sit there and go, I hate your guts. I don't understand it. I get it. You say, I love you. I get that too. Amen? But the one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change to make you happy. I'm not going to contort myself to somehow please you. I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be pleasing to God. If I'm pleasing to God, you better get in line because I can't change you. Woo! That's a tough thing to say, though. Amen? But man, if it's ever happened to you, boy, ain't it good. But you can walk, if somebody can sit there and go, I hate you, you go, all right. Man, before you wouldn't do that, would you? What can I do to make you not hate me? God, it's so quiet in here. I love that. I told y'all that Sunday. I'm starting to fall in love with the silence more than I am the amen. I'm serious. Because y'all are thinking. When y'all are quiet, you're sitting there, this is grinding me. I like it. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, Why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners? That question is still rocking on in the church today. Religious, hypocritical, religious people can never understand why a holy God would touch an unrighteous person. They can't figure out why you do the thing. Why are you going down there? Why are you going to the prison? Why are we inviting them here? Why did we get them to come in? Because I was going to answer, but I'll let God answer. Y'all don't mind, do you? And y'all can think, I'll tell you who it is, but this is not my part of the message. This message was from somebody else. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. God, he hurt him. He cut him, didn't he? He cut him. Why are they here? Why are them unrighteous? Why are them sinners? Why the publicans? Why does your Jesus, why does that guy sit with them? He's a doctor. Doctors love sick people. If you're not sick, you don't need Jesus. But if you are, you can come. Now, you don't like this, maybe you do, I don't know. But I hate to tell you, this room you're sitting in right now, this flat top, emergency room. And these things you're sitting on are hospital beds for the most broken people in the world. If they're not, we're a failure of a church. If broken people can't come in here and find a holy God who loves them more than anything in the world, we're a failure as a church. And I hate to tell you, you don't lie, this is good. When you go in the emergency room, you see some crazy stuff in the emergency room. I remember a few years back, I went to the emergency room in Knoxville on a Saturday. There was a girl laying in the front seat of their car, passed out at the door. Oh, wow. And another kid over in the bushes throwing up. And another friend of theirs that was with them could have been shot. You think that's a mess? Did the hospital turn them away? Why? Why did they not turn them away? Even the worst one? Did the one that just got a cut that night, did he get healed too? Yeah, they did. That one got healed. They might have waited a lot longer. Man, but the person that got shot, oh, pretty. The one that got shot, they rushed him right to the front of the line because he was the worst of the worst. He was bleeding out and dying, and they took the best doctor, and they put him on him, and he went in the room, and they worked on him until he was whole. See, when you see somebody walk in here and they're the messed up of the messed up and you don't think they should be here, and they don't, you should say, you need to go to the front of the line. You need to meet Jesus. He's the best doctor we got. You're welcome here. And because I've been touched and because I've been made right, I can sit at the back of the line. I got some issues, but your issues need to be touched. Hallelujah. Praise God. The other part of that story is, have you ever been to the emergency room and left? I have. Because sometimes you can go to the emergency room and be as sick as anybody else, as hurt as everybody else. You just don't think it's worth the wait. You just don't think it's worth the wait. You don't want to be there and you don't want to do it and you leave. See, these Pharisees, they were just as sick as everybody else. They just didn't think Jesus was worth the wait. He's worth the wait. He's worth sitting in the waiting room. He's worth sitting on the pews. He's worth coming in here. He's worth finding. Because if he ever touches you, you'll go out of here screaming, I've been to the best hospital you can ever go to, touched by the best doctor you can ever be touched. And I've been healed of my sin sickness for eternity. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You ain't going to believe this. The church has a hard time. We have a hard time dealing with lost people. But I want you to hear this. The number one reason. Come on, Scott. Get this on. The number one reason that Jesus came to this earth was to seek and to save sinners. That's it. All the other functions of the church are good and valuable, but they're not as valuable as seeking the lost, seeking sinners. And that's the truth. And I want to tell you this, and this is just me preaching to you. Now, this might ruin our whole altar call. I don't know. But your ministry is not as important in here as it is out there if you're saved. Because a lot of times, it'll happen every once in a while. The sick person might end up here. What I mean, the sinner, lost person might show up here. That's great. They might walk in the door. That's awesome. They brought their self. But a lot of times, what it's going to take is for somebody who was sick, who's been touched and healed, to tell another person that there's a doctor in the house. If we go back to the very beginning of chapter 9, the reason that they brought the man of palsy who was paralyzed is because it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. That means people outside were saying, Jesus is in there and you can get a hold of it. So they got it together and said, let's take it. Don't you want to have a church that when you go into the community and say, if you could just get a flat top, God could take care of that situation in your life. Wouldn't it be great if you had the confidence when you told them that and you seen them walk in here, you ain't got to do another thing. You just take your hands off and under your breath, or maybe you just pray, say, get them, Dr. Jesus. Get them, Dr. Jesus. I ain't going to do nothing else. I'm going to pray for them. But Dr. Jesus, Dr. Jesus to O.R. Lord, get them. Let's stand as we play a song of invitation. God spoke to your heart. Come pray.